We'll turn now to God's Word as we find it recorded for us in the book of Exodus, chapter 4. And the context here, of course, is that Moses has met with the Lord at the burning bush, and that the Lord has just commissioned Moses to go to the Israelites and to proclaim Yahweh's, the Lord God's message to them. So we hear the Word of God as it's recorded in Exodus chapter 4. Then Moses answered, "Behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, 'The Lord did not appear to you.'" The Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" He said, "A staff." And he said, "Throw it on the ground." So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses ran from it. But the Lord said to Moses, "Put out your hand and catch it by the tail." So he put out his hand, and he caught it, and it became a staff in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Again the Lord said to him, "Put your hand inside your cloak." And he put his hand inside his cloak, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. Then God said, "Put your hand back inside your cloak." And he put his hand back inside his cloak, and when he took it out, behold, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. "If they will not believe you," God said, "or listen to the first sign, they may believe the latter sign. If they will not believe even these two signs or listen to your voice, you shall take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground, and the water that you shall take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground." But Moses said to the Lord, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you've spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue." Then the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with you. I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak." But he said, "O my Lord, please send someone else." And then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, "Is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. Behold, he was coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you both what to do. He shall speak for you to the people, and he shall be your mouth, and you shall be as God to him. And take in your hand this staff with which you shall do the signs." Amen. We pray God's blessing upon the reading of his word. Well, my friends, it's a great pleasure and a privilege to be with you here today. Those of you who know me will be very pleased to know that I'll only be speaking for a very, very short time. And thank you, Reverend William, for that kind remembrance of I looked like Pat Buckley. That's one saved me once on the Antrim Road when I drove into an illegal IRA parade. I realized that they were shouting, "Hello, Pat." So I went, "Hello, back." And but that's for another time. Mission Africa, we have been connected to this congregation for decades and decades. I don't know how far back that partnership goes, but I would want to just say a very sincere thank you to you all for that enduring partnership, and to thank you from our hearts just for the prayer support and the practical support that we receive from individuals here and from the congregation as a whole. It means an enormous amount to us, and the Lord bless you for that. And we don't take an invitation to come and speak to you for granted, so it really is a privilege to be with you here today. Dave and Lucy will be coming to speak to you in just a few moments and show you a PowerPoint about the ministry that they'll be going to in Chad in a very, very short period of time. But I want to say, and this is not to swell their heads, that Dave and Lucy for us are a great answer to prayer, because for many, many years we were praying that more missionaries would go out to Chad. And you can imagine then within the mission our delight when the Lord answered that prayer and sent us these very fine young people. But friends, we need to be praying for many needs within the mission. And in many ways our most pressing need is personnel. There are great needs in Nigeria, Burkina Faso, and Kenya. And right across the United Kingdom, fewer and fewer people are coming forward for Christian service of all forms, and missionary service in particular. And I would urge you, friends, please, to make it a point of particular prayer that the Lord would raise up more people to go and enter into the mission field, because I know it's one of those standard things that you hear in missionary talks about the fields being white unto harvest. But you hear that all the time because it is true. The needs are enormous. And there's not a week goes by where I am not being contacted by African partners and they're pleading with me to send more missionaries. The church in Africa is growing enormously, but it needs the support of experienced missionaries, technically minded missionaries, theologically trained missionaries, you name it. It needs that support. But yet, they're not present. How I wish I had so many more people to send out. So friends, if there's one thing that you remember from my little bit today, I would ask you to pray that the Lord would raise up more people for the mission field. In all the different areas. We work in theological education. We work in medicine. We work in compassion. We work in evangelism. Everything that we are seeking to do, of course, is to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have vacancies in all those areas. So please, I would urge you, pray that the Lord would send us people, that we can send them out then to our African partners and assist in the growth and the expansion, and this is really the key word, the maturing of the African church. The African church is very big, and it is a lot of talent. There's no doubt about that, but that talent needs to be nurtured. It needs to be matured. The people need to be discipled in God's word. It's a pressing need, but the workers are few. So please pray for that, if you will. Otherwise, I can report that the mission is in good heart. We're continuing to serve the Lord in our normal areas of operation, in Nigeria, Burkina Faso, and Chad, of course, but also Kenya. People have been asking me recently, is it safe? And the answer, of course, to that is, well, the safest place, and I know, again, this seems like a cliche, but we're safest when we are in the will of God. From a human point of view, Africa is not safe. In Nigeria and in Burkina Faso, there's a very marked threat from Islamic terrorism. In Kenya, there is a certain degree of threat. We're very fortunate at the present time. Chad is probably as peaceful as it has been, but even there, it is not without danger and threat. Boko Haram, the terrorist organization, is within the borders of Chad. Excuse me. So I would ask you to pray for the safety of our missionaries and also that they would not in any way become weary in doing well in those countries. Pray that the Lord will just hold them securely in the hollow of his hand day by day and help them to know that nothing can separate them from his love and that he'd be pleased to make use of them even in the face of danger and adversity. Well, friends, I don't want to go any longer because our time is short, and I know the Morrisons have an excellent presentation to show you now. So I'm just going to invite them to come forward and to just present about their work. as it hopes to be in Chad.
Well, good morning again to you all. I said good morning to the children, but I'll introduce myself to yourselves. So as Paul said, I'm David, and of the two of us, I am the local one, localish. I'm from Lisburn originally, and my parents are actually from Coleraine-Limavady direction, Peter and Margaret Morrison. But I am from Lisburn, grew up through Lisburn Baptist Church and came to know God as my saviour as a child around the age of five. And for me, I guess my interest in mission started early. My older sister is quite a bit older than me, and she was leaving to work with Child Evangelism Fellowship in Switzerland around the time that I was starting primary school. So for me, missions was kind of, I guess, on my radar for a young age. After school, I started a degree in computer science and then realized about 6 months into that I really hadn't I was a Christian, but I really hadn't prayed. I really hadn't talked to God about my future. And so I began doing that and seeking counsel of others. And it became clear that God was leading me to other things. And so I left that course. And a year later, was doing youth and schools work on the North Coast, actually. And a bit with Exodus, a bit with Port Stewart Baptist, going into schools and doing SUs and lunch clubs, that kind of thing. And then I ended up at Belfast Bible College, which is where I met Lucy. So if you're around that kind of teenage university age and you're feeling like you're not knowing what you're doing, I understand. But I really encourage you to pray and to chat to God about it, because He has clear direction for our paths. And whether it be like one of my other friends who stayed in that course and is now supporting people in mission and praying and going short term, it might be that, it might be going. But God has clear direction for our paths. So sorry, I'm diverging a bit. That's about me. I'll let Lucy introduce herself.
Hello, well, I'm Lucy Morrison. I'm originally from the northeast of England, so I grew up by the sea in Whitley Bay. I came over to Northern Ireland in 2012. I felt God calling me specifically to come to Belfast Bible College. Going back, as David's introduced his call to mission, God really spoke to me very clearly when I was a young teenager and told me that I would work with vulnerable women when I was older. So he gave me a very specific call, which then kind of deepened over the years, but he then called me to Belfast Bible College. So David and I both have a lot to thank the Presbyterians for. Dunmurry Presbyterian Church would put on every Thursday a free student lunch, free being the best part of that, when we were doing our theological training. So we were sustained by the Presbyterians through our theological training, so we can thank them for that. But I'll let David share a bit about our call.
Yeah, so for me, or for both of us, after we met, and well, really as we were thinking about getting engaged and talking about that before, and we both shared with each other what we were thinking, and we essentially said, look, if we're going to get married, it's really going to be a marriage to each other, but as well to serve God in mission. So after I had done that year of youth and schools work, I went to Belfast Bible College because I felt God specifically speaking to me and asking me to go and to go into training. And I wasn't sure for what at that stage, but it was clear that God was beginning to lead me towards the mission field. So after we chatted through that and Lucy shared her heart for working with women, with vulnerable women, we agreed to get married. We got married, and not long after that, we started seeking out where God would have us. We, at a New Year's camp, sat down together and prayed and asked God in that year, which I think that would be 2016, we asked God that year to bring us to a mission or a country where He would have us serve. So I'll spare you the long and winding story, because it was a long and winding story, and God has funny ways of directing us to get to there, like the children of Israel get to there and went around like that. It seemed a bit like that for us as well. But we got put in contact with a lady called Naomi Duff, who has been working in Chad for 10 years with vulnerable women, and Mission Africa then was going to be sending out new missionaries. So Over a long process of chatting with our elders, with those around us, with praying and fasting, it became clear that God was leading us to here. But for us, as I shared with the kids, to be honest, we were scared, and we still are, and asking God, how can you be using us? How can you possibly use David and Lucy Morrison to bring your gospel? And after a prayer retreat we had taken, I felt God prompting me to read a devotional that we were looking, that we occasionally use together. It took a while to find it because Lucy had tidied it away somewhere. But when we found it, the devotional for that day was in this passage that Paul has read from Exodus 4, where God is calling Moses to go, and Moses says, "No, please send somebody else. I can't do it." And we both felt really convicted, and the writer of the devotion went on to say that when God calls you, he equips you. It's not necessarily in advance, but God calls us to be obedient and to go, and he will equip us. And in that passage that Paul read in Exodus 4, Moses puts up these objections, and he says, first, they're not going to believe me. And then God gives him three signs to prove that what he is saying is from God and that they will believe him. And then Moses says, I'm not eloquent. I'm slow to speak. I'm not a great speaker. I can't do this. And then God says, I will be with your mouth. I will be with your mouth and the words you say. And then, so we see God equipping Moses. And then Moses says, no, Lord, please send someone else. And then it says, the Lord's anger burned against Moses. But we see God's mercy as well in that, because God was angry with Moses that he was still resisting, but then he still provided Aaron. He provided a helper, someone to speak for him, someone to go with him. And I think this passage really, just sharing a slight thought before we go on and talk about the work, it really teaches us about how God equips us, how God uses us, and about his mercy as well. And it reminds me of that verse in 2 Corinthians 4 where Paul talks about how we have this treasure in jars of clay. Why? To show that the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. And if you think about that, when we read the story of the Exodus, we're certainly in this story, when we look at Moses, he's not very impressive. He's scared, he's worried, and later on, we see that he comes upon failure. And it's very clear as you read the story of Exodus, it wasn't through Moses that it was done, it was through God. And so I want to encourage us as we think about our own lives, as we think about whether we go to Ahokle or whether we go to Ballymena or whether we go to Chad or to Kenya, wherever it is, that we go in God's strength, and that we know that if God is calling us, he will equip us. He is full of mercy for us weak people, and he chooses to use us because it's through our brokenness that he is glorified. So I just wanted to share a little thought from that passage that Paul was reading before we go on. But Lucy's going to talk a little bit about where we specifically are going.
Yeah, so to give you a little bit of an idea, there's a map there behind you for those of you that have maybe never heard of Chad. That was kind of us before we started looking into this work, I'm ashamed to say. But Chad is in central Northern Africa. So we'll give you a few statistics there on the next slide about the place as a country. So there's a few videos playing from our time. We went out to visit a couple of years ago. But Chad is a desert area. So as David's already shared with the children, it is very hot. So it gets up to nearly 50 degrees. It is a very harsh climate. There's a lot of poverty. So life expectancy is 52 for women and 50 for men. The capital is Djamena, which is where I will be working. And as far as the religious, spiritual climate, it's a majority Muslim country, amazingly with an open door to missionaries. So there are some Christians in the country, but there's a lot of African traditional religion and a lot of syncretism. So that means when people have kept different aspects of different religions to form some kind of hybrid religion that doesn't honor Christ. So there's a lot of traditional religions at work in Chad. So we'll move on then to the specific situation with women. So Chad has the third highest rate of child marriage, so that means children under the age of 16. A lot of the women that we're working with were sold into marriage at 13. And so to share one of the stories of the women we're working with, I realize there's a lot of young ears here, so I'll try to be sensitive to that. But one of the ladies from the center, Sandra, she was told she was going off to stay with an uncle. She was actually being sold into marriage at the age of 13. Now, in Chad, to have children means a higher status. So especially for the husband, there's a huge pressure to have children and to have as many as possible, whether or not you can support them. So at 13 years of age, she couldn't support this child. She would say she was walking bent over because her body was so young. She lost the child, and then from that, the relationship went sour. So her husband would have beaten her. She ended up fleeing. And she fled to the capital city where life is very expensive. So she then ended up working using her own body. So this is a very typical example of how women end up in a very dire situation. Sadly, this is widespread across Chad within the Muslims, but also the Christians within the church. There's a lot of corruption. And the literacy rate is very low. So it's around 31%. For women, so their employment opportunities, as you can imagine, are not very diverse.
So in moving on then, in terms of what we actually hope to do in Chad, as I said, the ministry was started by a lady called Naomi Duff. She's now come back. She's from Glen Abbey Church in North Belfast, if anyone knows of it or knows of her. She's now come back, but she started the ministry, and so we'll be going out to join this ministry that she started and working in partnership with TEAM. It's the Evangelical Alliance Mission. It's an American mission that this ministry is now under and we'll be working in partnership with. But I guess three basic areas that we'll be working in. Firstly, building relationships. We were sharing in a prayer group in Ballymena on Monday night, and I shared a story that in Chad, relationship is really, really important. It's in some senses your security in the country, and I said that when we were in Chad, you were walking down the street and you said hello and shook the hand of every single person that you walked past, and I said, imagine if you did that in Ballymena, and then everybody laughed, because I guess you do that in Ballymena, and maybe in Ochil as well. But it really is, wherever you go, it's important to meet and to greet whoever you're with, whoever you come across, because relationship is so important. And so a lot of what we'll be doing is seeking to become known and become trusted in the neighborhood so that we have those relationships there, with the ultimate aim then of being able to begin to share God's words. The neighborhood we'll be living in is mixed, Christian and Muslim, so we hope and pray there'll be a lot of opportunity there with those around us in our immediate neighborhood to share with them and to open the Bible with them. The second area is what Naomi has called the acacia ministry. Acacia trees are, I guess, that typical African tree, if you can imagine, that's quite wide and spreads quite wide but not very tall. But the acacia trees, their roots are really, really, really deep. So they go down very far and get the ground. So even in a country like Chad, where there's rain 2 months of a year, they still survive because they have the groundwater deep down. And the Ministry of Acacia seeks to empower vulnerable women to be like these trees, to be like, if you think of that verse in Jeremiah 17, verse 7, it says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out his roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes. For its leaves remain green, and it is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit." And so our prayer and the aim of the Acacia ministry is to allow these women to be like those trees, because to be honest, as Lucy shared with the with the literacy statistics, with the unemployment in the country, there's a lot of them that their surrounding situations might not change, even if they come to know Christ. And so the aim is that through their relationship with Christ, through biblical teaching, their roots would go down deep, and they might be like trees that aren't moved, even in the harshest of climates. So I'm going to show you a quick video, about 2 minutes long, of some of the women talking about some of the things that they do at the center. And then I'll come up and fill in a little bit more.
Ce que j'ai tout apprécié d'abord, la parole de Dieu. La parole de Dieu m'a vraiment, vraiment renforcée. J'étais devenue maintenant autre personne d'abord. Une fois vous avez mis film, Jésus, film de Jésus. J'ai sourié, je voulais l'attraper, j'étais différent, rempli. C'est comme si l'enfant qui a perdu sa maman et la maman est arrivée, et j'étais comme ça. C'était vraiment, c'est comme j'étais là, on m'a taillé, et j'ai retrouvé la forme. Comme ça.
J'ai remercié le Seigneur qui nous a ouvert l'acacia. J'ai trouvé tous mes droits. Je connais le bon et le mauvais dans l'acacia. Et j'ai trouvé beaucoup de choses sur l'acacia. Bon, j'aime tout ce que vous nous a enseigné là-bas. On a fait le cours biblique. Et même vous êtes en train de nous aider à fabriquer certaines des choses. Puisque nous-mêmes, on peut gagner quelque chose et on soit indépendant de nous-mêmes. Oui, j'aime bien faire le savon, même le cadre.
Souvent, je dis, mais si ce n'était pas ça, j'allais faire comment? J'allais me suicider. J'étais vraiment embrouillée dans l'esprit, quoi. Et maintenant, avec tout ce que j'ai eu, comme l'enseignement, le public, les témoignages, maintenant, c'est bien.
Acacia m'a fait rendu que je suis une personne. Et en plus, maintenant, j'ai la paix du cœur.
Et la paix vient d'où?
De Dieu.
Et comme tu as beaucoup de travail, si on a trouvé la personne qui peut venir t'aider, on a la porte grandement ouverte et on va l'accueillir. On va leur beaucoup remercier, mais on n'a rien pour leur payer. Mais c'est Dieu qui va leur payer.
If there's any French speakers in the congregation, you can pray for us as you understand how different the accent is to maybe a normal Parisian accent. So you can pray for us in that. But that's a little bit about what goes on at the Acacia Center. The aim is to bring women hope, healing, and a future. So the women go through a 6 to 9 month course where they get biblical teaching, chronological Bible storying. It's called going from the start to the end of the Bible and seeing how Christ is traced through that and seeing what that teaches us. Learning life skills, learning things like boundaries, what's okay and what's not okay in a marriage, in the street, things like that. But also as it comes to the end of the course, beginning to learn, as you saw, how to make things like soap, how to make things like bags, which I actually have one with me. Lucy can maybe model it for me. How to make various things to provide a different source of income to enable these women, if they trust Christ, if they see lives change, to be able to change. They are to be able to change their lifestyle and change, have a reliable source of income. So that's one side of the work that we hope to be involved in, doing everything possible within that. But thirdly, so there's building relationships, there's the Acacia Center, but thirdly, with us going out as a couple and myself being the first man on the team, we hope to start a prevention side of the ministry. So thinking about prevention through discipleship. This particular work that these women do, it exists because there's a demand for it. So it exists because we are sinful, because men are sinful. And men grow up, if they grow up to be abusive husbands, it's because it's what's modeled around them, it's because it's what they see. And so what we'd love to do and what we're really praying for God to guide us to do is to find ways to get into local schools to get into church youth groups as well. As you heard, it's these attitudes towards women are in the church and not just perhaps in the Muslim world or in the animistic world. And to get into those areas and to seek to do Bible studies and small group discipleship and mentoring with young guys as well, and start to ask big questions like, well, what does it look like to be a godly husband? What does it look like to be someone that treats their wife in a godly manner? And these are massive questions and with a lot of cultural elements as well. And so we will need a lot of prayer and we will need a lot of wisdom and insight as we seek to figure out how to do this in a cultural way, in a way that will be accepted. But it's something that God's placed on both of our hearts, and it's an area that we hope to bring and to add to this ministry. So that's a little bit about what we're doing, what we're hoping to do in Chad as we go very shortly. But Lucy will share some more.
Yeah, so as David mentioned, it's been a long process. Well, it feels like it's been a long process. So since we started looking into opportunities, it's been 3 years now. We're just back from a year's language training. We're at a Christian language school just outside of Paris. So we've now completed our formal French training. Of course, we'll be learning probably all our lives. But the next step for us is to go. So our provisional date is the 4th of March. That's visa dependent. Unfortunately, Chad doesn't have an embassy in the UK, so we have to go through the French embassy in Paris. But hopefully our visas will be arriving back soon so that we can book flights. So that's a little bit about what's next for us. And lastly, just how can you be partnering with us? So as we've mentioned, prayer is the huge thing. We have seen God's provision in so many ways, from calling us to providing for us. And even just one example, Naomi, who started the ministry, she has now come back. So initially we had been planning to join her. She was working with another part-time person who wasn't sure whether they would continue with the work, which left us in a very scary position because it looked like we were going to be taking over this work as new missionaries, still learning the language. But since then, God has been providing. So the lady who was part-time has now stepped up into a real leadership position, and God has brought two other people into the ministry. So we'll now be working as part of a team of 5 people, which is a hugely different situation to going over and taking over the leadership role. So we really praise God. We have seen him answering prayers in so many different ways. A lot of the women, we've really just scratched the surface of it. They live in very difficult circumstances. And one of the women we've been very close to in the past couple of years has had just a really crazy story. But part of that, her oldest child was kidnapped with the intention of her being sacrificed. And through prayer and fasting of people, God led to that child, and that child is now restored and back safely with its mother. So there's just a few tiny examples. I don't need to persuade you that prayer is powerful, but as we've already touched on, we really do need your prayer. If you're not signed up to receive Mission Africa's updates, you can sign up for that and hear about how to pray intelligently for the missionaries. We send out a newsletter, and we'd love to share that with you. Of course, giving. Mission Africa has a number of ways that you can partner with them, child sponsorship being a big example of that. And then, of course, going. There's a huge need for more missionaries. We would love to be part of a bigger team someday. And, of course, Mission Africa does short-term teams and medical electives. So please do get in contact if you would be interested or know of anyone who would be interested in those ways. But as we've all said, we really, really appreciate being with you and you allowing us to share. We so appreciate your prayers as we go. As we've said a number of times, we are scared in many ways because we are small, but we do follow a big God who has called us, and we really put our trust in that as we go. So thank you very much, and feel free to ask questions or take a prayer card on your way out.
Thank you so much to David and Lucy, and be assured of the prayers of the whole mission as you go. Again, we just thank you for having us today, and bless you just for all your support and the love that you demonstrate to Mission Africa. Just before we come to our final hymn, let's just say a very brief prayer. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we give you thanks that you are not a God who is afar off and unknowable, but rather you draw close to us, and you've drawn close to us in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have given us a gospel to proclaim. Help us, Lord God, each and every one of us to realize the urgency of making known the gospel to the lost and perishing of this world. Lord God, give us the strength that we require. Give us the wisdom and the insight to know how to best to go about making known that good news of Jesus Christ. But we rejoice that, as has already been observed today, that it is you who takes the initiative, it is you who empowers, it is your Holy Spirit that brings about the increase, not our efforts. But Lord God, we do pray that we would be willing tools in your hands as we seek to glorify the Lord Jesus. And it's in his precious name that we pray. Amen.